SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Bustle, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Sunday Bloody Sunday has begun. We got a full house and a lot of stuff to unpack here this evening. Jason B. Takaffin, former minor league executive of the year, will step up and in a three-time champion with the A-Ball Toronto Blue Jay affiliate. Vancouver Canadiens kicks it with us. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. No soup for you. Steps up and in. Mo Khan, bats leadoff tonight. We got a lot of stuff to break down this evening. Some people say it's the dog days of summer. I want to punch those people. Dog days of summer. We got a soccer game going on right now. I got a nickel in action as I speak right now on a Sunday night on an MLS game. And I tell you what, it's an entertaining MLS game for a 1-0 game right now. The Vancouver Whitecaps are up 1-0 on the road in Rain City against the Timbers. Man, the Vancouver Whitecaps are playing some really, really good football right now. And I love the fact that they bring in Julian Gressel as well. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Mo Khan's going to step up and in from the MTL. A lot of news breaking from Montreal right now. As far as who Pierre-Luc Dubois is concerned, this guy's unhappy in Winnipeg. And wasn't he unhappy in Columbus before? Like, you know, actually, you know what? it's one of those deals, actually, because I see people ripping them. They're like, well, this guy is unhappy in Columbus, now he's unhappy in Winnipeg. It's like, wow. You know what I mean? It's like, imagine you're a professional athlete. It's like, yeah, you ended up in Columbus, and after they trade you to Winnipeg, right? And it's like, well, you know. I don't know, wasn't he from Winnipeg or something like that? Or I don't know, he wants to play for the Montreal Canadiens? Why do you want to play for the Montreal Canadiens for? Right, stay away. I see he's trending right now. I saw something about Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. What's going on in Winnipeg? What are you guys on? Seriously, I know, listen, the Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans, you guys are great fans. You're the drunkest fans in the league by far, but evidently your drunkenness is like spilling into, we're not giving you Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. Like what is this, the NBA? People coming up with these crackhead schemes and trades. That's where we're at right now in the media with the NBA. Like they're putting together like hypotheticals and stuff like that. I can't deal with that stuff. I like to deal with the realities of the world. The realities of the world is a Major League Baseball All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles. I was supposed to go. I was going to be there. And, you know, I've had some things happen earlier in the summer. It sort of threw everything off for me a little bit. My timing, my biorhythm, I guess that's what, like, my biorhythm wasn't in rhythm, you know what I'm saying? And I was all gung-ho, oh, the All-Star game, this and that and all this, but the fact of the matter is, I'm a Dodger fan, right? I mean, it was more so about Dodger Stadium and stuff, and the fact is, I'll be at Dodger Stadium through this playoff run, and we'll be in Dodger Stadium in a couple of weeks. And I sort of just thought back to, like, the Super Bowl experience and everything. I'm like, so in other words, I'm kind of just going to be at the L.A. Convention Center again, except instead of getting paid, I'm going to be paying. Right? Like, that's the way I started to think about it. I'm like the All-Star. I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? I'd be all stoked to see, like, Kershaw for an inning and stuff. After that, I'd be like, yeah, man, the traffic out of here kind of sucks. I started to think about, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, they'll probably lose my baggage with the airline. I started to just think very negatively about everything. I was like, nah, not for an All-Star game. Especially when we got the Bills and the Rams rapidly approaching. Oh, yeah, Sunday Bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Bustam and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Major League Baseball All-Star Game rapidly approaching. Home Run Derby rapidly approaching. We've got numbers for everything. It was the Major League Baseball draft tonight. And let's give credit to Major League Baseball. They're actually starting to get it. We're going in the right direction. The sports books did post numbers for the draft, but they did it at the last second. We need to get a little bit ahead of this a little bit more, but what a weekend, what a week as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. I am Gabriel Morency. We're throwing it down. Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm out of your 1090 ESPN Radio. What's up, SoCal? Let's do this thing. I've got baseball fever. We've got a full house. We've got a former baseball minor league executive of the year, three-time champion with the Toronto Blue Jay organization. Jason P. Hackerman's going to join us. A lot of stuff to unpack. So we've got the Home Run Derby. We've got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. We've got the Major League Baseball Draft that was this evening. And, oh, yeah, the Juan Soto sweepstakes have begun. Soto rejects a 15-year deal from the Washington Nationals, $440 million. Sounds like a lot of money. And let's be real, if anybody offered any of us right now, maybe besides if Jim Rome is tuning into the program, and we love you, Jim, any one of us would say yes before someone finished the sentence about $440 million, right? Like, be like, listen, I'm going to give you $440 million. Okay. All right. Yet, if you're Juan Soto, he's not you or me. We're not as talented as he is. And the fact of the matter is, it was only $29 million a year when you add it all up. Not good enough. Not good enough. And not to mention the team's not good enough. We got a lot of stuff to unpack. Mo Khan steps up and in. Jason B. Takafin throws it down with us. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Dog days of summer? What? This is Sports Rage. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency.
Oh, yeah, Sunday, bloody Sunday. All right, our chat's lighting up here right now. Juan Soto. Hey, I've got Juan Soto fever. I'm a Los Angeles Dodger fan, and make it happen. Make it happen, all right? Like, it's pretty simple. Yeah, but don't you already have bets? And yeah, well, you know, I'm just make it happen. But it's listen, the Juan Soto stuff is a fascinating story. He's a dominant young player. He's already a World Series champion. You know he can play under pressure. Like, there's nothing not to love. We talked about the other night. He's basically Mike Trout, but people don't talk about him, right? He plays in Washington. The kid's amazing, all right? Like, if you look at his WAR and his numbers and all that analytics stuff, like, he's a freaking monster, and he's young. And the thing is, though, as we saw the reports, what was the quote from Jeff on Eastman? It's going to take a Herschel Walker type of deal. Like, and that's a little bit extreme. Nobody, you know what I mean? It's not 12 players for one type of thing. But number one, whenever you get into these big money players, there's not that many owners and teams that want to pick up a $500 contract, okay? So right then and there, you're kind of, there's already only a couple of teams. On top of that, you need to be deep in serious prospects, right? Like, they're not just giving you Soto, and you're going to have to give them, and they're trying to rebuild, so they don't want, like, other players, etc. It's not like, well, just give them this guy and that guy. No, you're going to have to give them. Like, a good example is the Dodgers had three players starting yesterday in the Futures game. They'd have to trade all three of them. Simple as that. I'm dead, you know what I mean? Simple as that. Like, all three, like, I'm talking, you're going to have to give up 2 to 3, you know, top 25, top 50, you know, baseball prospectus, you know, baseball ranking players. You know, I'm talking like 4 or 5 guys in the top 60 type thing. Like, they're not just going to give them up. Now, listen, they're going to have to deal them, but then you get a limited options. Where can he actually go? Well, we could bring Mo Khan in on this, but I'm just throwing it out there right now because I'm seeing all these people throwing teams out there. The Mets have money. They don't have the prospects. Number two, they're not trading them in a division. That's not going to happen. So, you know, the Mets are out of the equation to me. The Yankees don't have the prospects, and the Steinbrenners haven't shown any willingness to spend that type of money. They don't even want to pay Judge. Right? Like, so the Yankees, it's not going to happen. Just for the record, the Dodgers have been stone cold silent on this. There's been nothing. Like, there's been nothing like his leak. No one's reported. Nobody has said anything that, oh, the Dodgers are kind of excited about, like, Soto, which leads me to believe that they're very in on this, right? They're busy right now thinking about this. The other two teams, the other one, San Diego. What's up, you know, San Diego? San Diego, they've shown an ability to spend money. They'd love to throw this Soto, Machado, and Tatis at the Dodgers. The Dodgers are thinking, we can't let San Diego do this. And the other team is an outlier, and there are reports that Soto is down with this. The Seattle Mariners go hook up with Julio Rodriguez. Oh, yeah, the Seattle Mariners that have won 14 games in a row right now. Now, the Mariners have the prospects, but does the Mariners ownership want to pick up like $500 million? Let's bring in Mo Khan right now. A lot of stuff to get to, including LeBron showing up at the Drew League, DeMar DeRozan nearly punching the dude in the face. I thought he was going to. Mo Khan, what's up, Mo?
How you been, Gabe? All's well, brother.
It's all good. A lot of stuff going on here, man. A lot of stuff, but it's been an exciting baseball season. I want to say, though, like, you know, people criticize Rob Manfred, and rightfully so. Any commissioner that calls his championship trophy, it's just a piece of tin. it's just a piece of tin. Like you got a problem, but it was a wrong choice of words. But actually, if you'll notice, Mo, like, baseball has done a much better job. Social media, you'll notice, they've done a better job. MLB.com, ironically enough, has always been, like, the best league-run website. They were ahead of the curve, actually. The editorial content, like, there'll be people that'll criticize MLB on MLB.com. I think they've done a lot of good things, actually. But they can still do better. Yet tonight was a nice start. You saw, this is the first time, Mo, they had a draft with a stage and a crowd, and yeah. You know what I mean? And the analysts thought, hey, this is my analyst for the pick, and break it down. What do you think? Da-na-na. You know what I mean? They had the, you know what I mean? It was always just sort of after the fact, oh, in the MLB draft. And it's all about betting, Mo. Everything's driven by betting all the time. But, you know, there's a big buzz. Baseball's having a good season this year, despite people always complain and stuff. But it's been a great baseball season, Mo.
It has been. And, you know, with the draft being what it is with All-Star Weekend or All-Star Week in L.A. now, right, the perfect symmetry for MLB to really expose or shine the talent that we had. The prospects game was fun to watch the other day as well. And I think now, you brought up a good point, right, with baseball. They're trying to reconnect with the younger demographic. And you know, and I know, and all of your listeners know, that's been the biggest downfall for the MLB for the last decade plus, that they've lost that younger interest right now.
Yep,
and
yep.
Also, when you think about it right now, the African-American community is not playing baseball as it once was. But if you look at the draft tonight, two went in the top five from the African-American community. So that's big for the...
How about Kamar Rocker's story? Yeah, we'll get to that.
Exactly.
Like that's great.
That's three, actually, because you also have Elijah Green as well that went. So that's three in the top five that went. That's going to be huge for baseball to kind of showcase and now promote these young athletes that, hey, this sport can be played by all and be inclusive than where it's been the last 10 years.
The thing is, though, it's a good point, and I've said this before, and we said the same thing about hockey. And listen, NBA has that, right? I always tell people, you want to judge stuff, you know, walk outside of high school, or you know what I mean? You know, what jerseys are they wearing? And, you know, they're not going to be wearing Mookie Betts jerseys. They're wearing, you know, they're wearing LeBron jerseys, etc. But you'll notice it is. Like, the Dodgers, well, listen, the Dodgers are another story. The Dodgers are popular with, you know, amongst a wider brand. But I think you're right about this as far as baseball is concerned. And the thing is, they've got cool dudes. They've got people that people would like. I remember this goes back all the way to when I was doing the Expos games, Mo. And remember Ron Callaway, African-American. Yeah. And yeah. He told me the same thing. He goes, I don't know, we were talking once, and he was sitting in the corner. He was sort of, I don't know, man, he didn't like the music or something, bro. It was one of those things, right? So, it was basically like, it was like a salsa club. It was like Latin Central, right? So... And he goes, man, these guys, man, it's always the same effing music, he said to me in the clubhouse once. And he already told me, he looks at me, he goes, Morency, he goes, it's hard being the only brother on this team. And I said to him, I said, you know, for the record, people tuning in, I'm white, so people tuning in, I said, you're not the only brother. I said, man, this is Vladimir Guerrero Cabrera. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, they're Dominican, bro. There's a difference. That's what he told me. He goes, that's what, no, point blank. He didn't say it negatively, but he goes, nah, man. He goes, it's not the same, right? You know what I mean? And then he brought it up, too, and he said, it's going to be a problem moving forward. He said, less and less kids are playing ball, right? They're playing basketball. It's, you know what I mean? And he brought it up. And it is true. We've seen the participation of African Americans way down in Major League Baseball. But yeah, so you're right. It was a nice pop here tonight. But, you know, it's just and the home run derby tomorrow, too, Mo. The slam dunk competition used to be the thing, man. Vince Carter, Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Even like Aaron Gordon, Zach Levine was epic in Toronto. That was the last really good one. It's not, yeah, dude, I'd rather watch a bunch of people, like, you know what I mean, in a playground dunk than the crap that they roll out as an NBA slam dunk contest. This is another thing you got to give credit to baseball for. I know for a fact, Mo, being in the betting industry, too, the home run derby is the most popular skills competition in sport now, bro. It's you know how big this thing's going to be tomorrow night in L.A.? Like, the TV ratings, the betting, it's going to be massive.
It will be massive because you think about it right now, Gabe, L.A. is the show-me city right now. It's Tinseltown, man. It's the best of the best right now. And I think this could be perhaps the Dartmoor for MLB to really get back on the right track here with the younger demographics, provided the home run showcase is perfect tomorrow night.
I'm fired up. I'm going to find out and ask Mo about people always ask me, Marenzi, are the Expos ever going back to Montreal? I don't know. More on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston.
Not as long as you bastards are running things.
Now, speak up, George. I can't hear you. You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston. Not as long as you bastards are running things.
George!
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The pitch, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We got Jason B. Tack. If you're going to join us later, former minor league baseball executive of the year, three-time champion with the Toronto Blue Jay organization. We'll step up and then we'll talk baseball. A lot of stuff to unpack. We got Mo Carr with us. Babana will join us later. We'll get to the CFL card. We'll get some thoughts from Mo. Mo can touch on anything, including Mo. And I'm not throwing it to you because I got to be honest with you. I haven't really watched too much of it, but I just won a bet on the 110 men's meters, 100 meters.
Did the kid from the Eagles get disqualified because he had a false start by 1/1000th of a second and told him that you couldn't race anymore in the race? There was some great story today that popped up with Devin Allen.
Yeah.
Some of the Eagles about that, yeah.
Yeah, fortunately, I didn't bet on him. Fortunately, I didn't bet on him because I got to tell you what. Yesterday, we'll get to this later too. Epic UFC card yesterday. Yesterday on ABC, but I had a guy in the main event, Mo Ortega. You know, the guy from the Modelo commercials. Ortega. I had Ortega. And, bro, his shoulder popped out, like, 2 minutes into the fight. And I had the over in the fight. Like, so I had him and the over, Mo, and I lost. Like, because it's not like it's a push or anything. No, like, you're done. You know what I mean? His shoulder, he went backwards, boom, his shoulder, whatever. Buddy, like, it got ripped a bit. Anyways, his shoulder popped out. That was it. So, you know, I'm glad I didn't get this. Yeah, this kid is fast, though. And just for the record, as Mo alluded to, Eagles wide receiver. We talked about this kid, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, how fast he was. He was, like, he set an American record. Eagle wide receiver Devin Allen. He played with the Ducks, Devon Allen. He played with the Ducks years ago, right? So he's not coming right out of college now. He played with the Ducks, and he got into track and stuff like that. But now he's going to be playing with the Eagles. He was the fastest man in the world in 110 meters this year, but was disqualified for a false start. His reaction time was 0.001 faster than the 0.1-second threshold. Wow. So as he stated,
crazy.
0.01 of a second. Well, rules are rules, Mo.
Absolutely not.
You can't get a head start. Allen pled his case to officials to no avail. Instead, he had to watch on TV his fellow American Grant Holloway defend his world championship. Oh, I won. Maybe it's a good thing he wasn't there, actually. So I won. So as we say, he played football from 2014 to 16. He went undrafted. The Eagles are his first shot at an NFL roster spot after he caught the team's attention by running a 4.35 40-yard dash. In three seasons with the Ducks, he caught 54 passes, 8 touchdowns, 919 yards. The question, Mo, with all these speedsters always is, number one, it's not can you catch the ball. It's number one, can you stay healthy, right? And then number two is can you catch the ball. I remember when I was a kid, remember, Mo, Ronaldo Nehemiah. He was a track star. San Francisco 49ers, he's one of the first ones. I'd say the best track wide receiver, Mo, and I bet you this guy could still, like, run fast, is Willie Gault, man.
Yeah, even James Jett, former L.A. Oakland Raider, had a pretty decent career himself. And the thing is, you made
but he wasn't Willie Gault. Not a Super Bowl champion.
No, he was not Willie Gault. No, definitely not. But for a guy like Devon Allen, can he run routes? That's going to be the key, because if he can't run a proper route.
Well, it'll be pretty vertical. So can he stay healthy? Look at John Ross. Like, he's fast as hell. He's always pulling his groin or something. You know what I mean? Who's the other kid? He's been around the league for a while. He was on the Bills, on the 49ers. I can't believe he slipped my name now.
Marquise Goodwin.
Thank you. Great call. Thank you. Goodwin. Another one. Goodwin's not bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he's like you said, he's not a natural route runner, Goodwin. But he's got decent hands. He doesn't drop everything. But it's a good call, Mo, about running the routes. But do you think that Devon Allen will make the team?
It's tough. You look at that receiving core now with what they've drafted in the last couple of years, Gabe. He's going to have to make it on special teams first,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
Then he might be in the rotation moving forward. Because for Jalen Hurts, they've loaded up, as we know, with that receiving core led by A.J. Brown. And you would figure if he's going to make it, he's got to really showcase himself on teams and perhaps in preseason to make a couple of catches that cast on Nick Sirianni moving towards week one.
As you stated, too, you know, throw him out there, return some punts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
if he gets lit up, he gets lit up. You know what I mean? It's like, sorry, kid. You know what I mean? If you want, I'm dead serious, Mel. I'd be like, listen, you know what I mean? Like you said, you're not, what do you go? You got Rieger, you got the Heisman Trophy, Devontae Smith, and you got A.J. Brown, bro. Good luck. Like, you know what I mean? It's a good point. Good point that you raise. All right, Mo Kock here with some Mo. Expansion always comes up, and it's come up recently with Rob Manfred. And he was pretty open about it, about wanting to add two teams, right? And it looks like Oakland's going to Vegas. So, I mean, it seems inevitable. So that's not expansion, though. That's relocation. And so that there's no real slam dunk other city. Like, put it this way, guys, for people tuning in. Rob Manfred wants to go back to Montreal. The players' union have agreed and said, oh, yeah, we love Montreal. Sure, let's go back to Montreal. We're down. Everybody, like, nobody is against going back to Montreal. So people always ask me, are the Expos ever to come back? And I say, well, at this point, if they really wanted them to, yes, Mo. So what I'm getting to is I know they've thrown in the past. They wanted the race. So what's the plan now? You're going to wait till 2027 and, you know, hope that they don't build a stadium before then, right, as they're under lease? I know it's a dysfunctional situation there, but Rob Manfred shut down the split season stuff with Montreal and Tampa. And I know that Stephen Bronfman, who was the son, it's Seagram's money, guys, Universal and Seagram's and stuff. Charles Bronfman was the original owner of the Expos. His son, Steven, and Mitch Garber, who was started from scratch, actually, became a very rich man, were part of an ownership group, blah, blah, blah. But they sort of insinuated that it sort of had to be the Rays, right? That I think it was their way of saying, we don't have $2 billion or whatever for an expansion team. What's the word in Montreal as of right now, bro?
It's dead in the water, Gabe, for now. If you remember.
God, it's like a gut punch, Mo. You didn't even play around. Like, it's just. I get the same feeling. I tell people and they laugh at me. I said, dude, there's a better chance the NBA is there before the baseball is. At least NBA, you got people who would buy it and do it. But all right, go on. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's dead in the water for now, Gabe, because with the whole proposal being rejected by MLB, the ownership group of Montreal side came out and said, look, we have no desire to move forward of the current situation as is. Now, if you recall, and you made the point about expansion, a lot of the insiders have been saying the three top targets for MLB to bring baseball to is Las Vegas, Nashville, and Montreal. And you made the point right now, it's Oakland, like the Oakland is likely going
there
to Vegas.
There it is. So Nashville and Montreal. There it is.
And that leaves Montreal, Nashville.
Or Charlotte. Exactly. But it's always Montreal and or someone else, Mo. They want it.
Right. The 100% they wanted, but the question now is, because the land parcel here that the Bronfmans had ID'd for the baseball site could be sold in the coming months now to a different different ownership group to build condos on that land parcel. So if that does happen,
I would sell it too. I wouldn't even call them out. I'd be, if I own a bunch of land in Montreal, you think I'm going to hold it to say, oh, maybe the Expos might come back? I'd say, suck it. Suck it.
So right now, there's a lot of obstacles that have now popped up in the Montreal area of baseball to come back here. There's no doubt that there's some fans who want it, but you made a point about the NBA. I do play-by-play for the Montreal Lions of the CEPL. They've been averaging consistent 3,000 fans per home game this year, and the league's been super ecstatic. This City Now game, when you look at it as a whole, has now produced a plethora of NBA players, whether it's Ben Mathurin, Chris Boucher, Lugansz Dort, Ken Burch, so on and so forth.
Oh, it's happening. It's going to happen.
Yeah, basketball here has been much more well-received with the younger demographics than baseball is at the current pace that they're going. So, like, if I were to pick, I would pick the NBA. But I think the big pockets of Montreal would prefer baseball because of the nostalgia and the history of the sport being in the city for many, many years, for eons, that is. But right now, I think for baseball here, it's dead in the water until further notice. If Rob Manfred says, hey, we're looking at Montreal as a target for expansion, are these guys in Montreal willing to spend billions of dollars to bring baseball back to the city before even having the first pitch happen, whether it's going to be now or 4 years down the road?
You know what he needs to do, although it won't go over well. Whatever, bro. He waived the a relocation fee for this thing to go to Vegas.
But Vegas is an animal, though, Gabe.
I know, because they're but what I'm saying is, they would have to sort of tell the other owners, listen, Montreal will work, but we can't get $2.2 billion from them. You know what I mean? We say, listen, we got to cut them a little bit of a break here. They're coming back. You know, and you tell the owner, listen, we're charging other people too. You're going to get it for 1.2 out of nostalgia purposes or whatever, because they still own the team baseball by technically. You know what I mean? They own the Expos name, so they could basically say, listen, we own it. Give us $800 million. Build your dumb stadium. Give us $800 million. The other owners just want money, and like we said, Mo, there's not like there's a ton of other cities lining up, bro. You know what I mean? Like, really, like, Charlotte's not happening. Like, no one's really, the Portland thing, like, Vegas is the only other place. And it's crazy, because if I was baseball, I would say, no, Oakland's not moving. All right? Oakland's not moving.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
We're going to gouge someone for like $3 billion for a Vegas team. And then we only need one other market after to get to round this out. Mo on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, right, listen, I need some cash.
What for?
I just need it, that's all.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You're gambling again, aren't you? Oh, you weak, weak man.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. Got all fired up. We weren't planning on talking about baseball expansion like this, but now, once again, our chat's blowing up. Got a lot of people in the Bay Area. And listen, I don't think the A's should leave. I don't want the A's to leave. They shouldn't leave. They already lost the Raiders. They didn't really lose the Warriors, whatever. It's on the other side of the bridge, and they were in San Francisco originally anyways. It's sort of whatever. That's different, but... San Jose is sort of whatever. If they would have pulled that off, that's not happening. And to say, listen, once again, we can call out baseball this and baseball that. It's up to the Oakland City Council and stuff to stop effing around, man. Seriously. Like, I've defended you people. Like, every damn time, man, you've got this rendering project, you got this and that, you're ready to go. And then, listen, I believe in the environment, but then the tree huggers come out, and it's like, oh, this and that, and what about the mosquitoes are going to be affected if you build a park here? You know what? Screw the mosquitoes. We'll have fans to suck blood from, okay? Shut up. Like, why does everything have to be, like, seriously? We're just building a stadium and a waterfront property here, all right? All right? You're going to be happier if you leave. You know how many jobs are going to be gone? We've already lost everything. Like, and so, and baseball's been patient. They were just like they were patient with Montreal, right? Like, baseball doesn't like relocating. It's not Manfred's fault. This is on Oakland. And, yeah. You know what I mean? It really is. Like, and, you know, keep the team there. There's fans there. Fans aren't going to go to that dump of a stadium. And on top of that, if they know that the team is going to Vegas, you got to say, listen, we're not going anywhere. We're getting this done. But it's crazy. Like, dude, it's been going on for years, Mo. And every week they have this new this and that. And once I really thought it was close. I was like, everybody was on board. The mayor was on board. Everybody was on board. And then it got shut down by environmental concerns because of whatever, dude. Like, it was going to the dominant, whatever, bro. Like, you know, it's just, I get it. Protect the environment, but it doesn't mean stop progress and doesn't mean let the team leave the freaking city. There's my rant for Oaktown.
Oakland, obviously, with the Raiders being what it was, right? Libby Schaff, who the mayor of Oakland at the time, did not want to spend money on the Warriors, on the A's, and on the Raiders. But right now, that Oakland Coliseum is a complete dump. It's a cesspool of hell. And they have to decide sooner or later whether they're going to stay in Oaktown. If not, they're going to move to Vegas. They went from, Gabe, having three professional sports teams 5 years ago to now having none. That's going to be incredible to see.
Vegas is just parasiting Oaktown. It's got to stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not down. Sure. I'm like, I'm not even an A's fan. I'm like, this is sickening. When I saw it, I'm like, no. They can't. The A's, dude. Like, they're a traditional franchise. Like, you know, people just, like, butcher history and bastardize everything nowadays. All right, Mo Khan, kick it with us. Speaking of which, we'll get to this after about the... they put a graphic over the 9/11 memorial. What the hell's wrong with you people?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And, you know, and I said this on Twitter, actually, tonight about this is the problem, like, when we talk to younger people sometimes, all right? And they don't know anything about anything, okay? And then I say to them, you know, you don't know this? And then they'll say, well, why do I need to know that? How does it affect me? And that's the problem. So I guarantee you, nobody thought, you know what, Mo? It'll be a great idea. Like, imagine you and me in the booth. Hey, you know what? It'll be really cool here. Let's put the Yankees and Red Sox logo over the 9/11 memorial. I guarantee you, as a bunch of dumbass kids sitting there, and I don't mean like 22, whatever, 30, whatever, a couple of dumbasses sitting there, and they saw the overhead aerial shot and figured, you know what? There's some space to put the logos in. As simple as that, Mo. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, I bet you, like, I don't think anyone thought, all right, let's see, here's the 9/11 memorial, let's use this as a graphic and put the logo over it, right? But, you know, yeah. If you guys didn't see it, they put the logo, it was kind of like, what the hell, like, really? Like, basically, like, out of all the aerial shots in New York City to put a graphic over, like, this is what you chose? But I think, personally, I think it was just done out of stupidity, not malice.
Yeah, you know, at first, when I saw that, I didn't pick up on it right away. I said, wait a minute. I go, what's going on here? I had to reread what was being said. And I said, is this where, unfortunately, where the 9/11 tragedy happened? I said, oh, my God, that's not a good look for Fox. And I think that was the whole issue, right? Had they done it differently, though, maybe they done it from the East River, from the Hudson River, whatever it might be, and had the logos, no problem. But this is definitely a very sensitive issue. And let's not forget, Gabe, right, the Lyft tour is coming to New Jersey in the coming weeks here. So that area of the U.S. is going to be on high alert with a lot of people on edge with what's happening with the Lyft tour and the Saudi base coming backing that up here. And you put that whole logo thing with on 9/11 on the site, what happened, definitely not a good look for Fox, and it's unfortunate for them. And a more of a tone-deaf approach than anything else for them to do what they did over the weekend.
Yeah, tone deaf is a good way of putting it, Mo. That's I think that's a good way of putting it. All right, Mo. So, speaking of Vegas and all this, let me ask you: do you think? I say yes. Will LeBron James be the owner of the Vegas franchise? I say yes. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree with you, Gabe. I think you know we talk about Rob Manfred being open about having expansion. The NBA's kind of put this on the back burner because I think they know down the road, Adam Silver, that is, that they will get a tremendous amount of expansion fees coming in 4 or 5 years from now with the TV deal going to be renewed in 4 years from now. But also the realization that, hey, LeBron James is on the back nine of his career, that you want to incorporate him into this whole process and be a part of the initial introduction of whoever the Vegas owners might be. So this is going to definitely be inevitable, I think. I think he will be part of the Vegas franchise expansion fee. The question now is, for when do they do this? Do they go in 27, 28? Or, as we said before, will it be a race between them and the MLB to get a team in Vegas and try to set the roots for that moving forward here? So it'd be quite fascinating to see how this plays out in the next 3-4 years. But there's no doubt in my mind LeBron James will be a part of the Vegas expansion ownership group down the road.
And I guess the next question is, will he call Vegas fans racist as a as an owner? You know, we're going to get our boy Pete Shepard on, actually. We're going to get him on tomorrow. Yeah. I want to get into this. He's a ESPN Florida guy, but he's actually a Red Sox guy. He's a New England guy and Boston guy. And we're going to take on that only because, you know, listen, it is no secret that NBA players aren't big fans of Boston, right? Like, let's just call it off what it is.
Yeah.
No city is perfect. And no all fan base, you know, deserves to be called out, blanket coverage, etc. But so anyways, on a show, The Shop, they asked, you know, where's the worst place to play? Where do you hate playing and whatever? And LeBron said, you know, oh, Boston. And they said, why? And he goes, because they're racist as F. And, you know, he went on to basically say they threw beer at him and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, he is a part owner of the Boston Red Sox, bro.
Yeah, family sports. That's right.
It's kind of an awkward situation. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. You know what? Like, it has a reputation, Gabe. It goes to the NBA. Bill Russell has mentioned that before, even with the MLB. One of my cousins lives in the Boston area, and he's told some horror stories from the stands at Fenway Park with some fans using the N-word repeatedly. And he felt uncomfortable with it. I said, my God, this is crazy how this has been done in Boston. But remember, Kevin Garnett, when he went to the Celtics, if you recall, he wasn't comfortable going to Boston when the trade proposal came up back in 2007-08. And he had to get reassurances from those in the Boston area that, hey, things will be okay if you come out to Beantown. So, look, Boston definitely has a very strong reputation when it comes to race relations and sports. And I think now for LeBron James, being part of the Fenway group here, you wonder if John Harry might talk to him about, hey, listen, you got to kind of ease up what you said because you are part of the Fenway sports group ownership process, and we don't want to lose that business of supporters that we have currently built up in the Boston area with all of our properties.
You know, I think there's a pocket of, listen, there's pockets of racist everywhere, right? Let's just call it out for what it is.
Yes.
There is, right? I think Boston actually gets a bad rap in a sense. I think like some of the fans are just jerks, some of these people, but like the city itself, right. It's not like a hateful place. You know what I mean? Like it isn't, but,
it's a great city. It's a great,
yeah, no, it is. It is a great city.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. But like, you know what I mean? But at the same point in time, like even Jaylen Brown says, you know, we've got some work to do still. Right. You know, listen, like, it's not like, see, you know, he's there, you see Jason Tatum, et cetera, and they're embraced, but he said there's still work to do, but there's work to do everywhere. But there's no doubt. I mean, remember Anthony Davis famously said, oh, over my dead body, I'll never play there. LeBron would, you know what I mean? Kawhi Leonard, Celtics before the deal to the Raptors with the Spurs, Celtics had a very nice package put together, and Kawhi Leonard told them, like, point blank, that's not happening. Like, I will not. Right. Like, so it is. It's a common. There is something there. So what did you think about Braun playing in the Drew League? I like it. I love the Rucker Park stuff. I love the Drew League stuff. I love, and you see just how cool it is when dudes that are good, though, they get their crack against the best, right? Like, you saw that guy, man. He was guarding DeMar DeRozan like it was game 7 of the NBA Finals, man.
Yeah. And look, the Drew League and Rucker are hidden gems for those who aren't familiar with this type of process. And back in the day, before things became more high stakes, a lot of NBA players were in the Drew League, playing in this level. Kobe Bryant played in the Drew League. Shaq played in the Drew League because it was best on best to get yourself in shape going towards the NBA training camps in September. And it was fun to see this play out because, look, it brought more pop. It brought more eyeballs to the Drew League to see LeBron out there. Kyrie no-showed as a non-surprise for those who don't want to see him play.
He even stiffed the Drew League teammates. Huh?
Exactly.
So he told him, I'll be there. And yeah, Kyrie, so
he knows.
Like, it's unbelievable, this guy.
Yeah, he pulled the Ultimate Warrior pretty much from SummerSlam 91. But also, you think about Rucker Park, right? The basketball tournament played some games at Rucker on Saturday, and that's great for the exposure of Rucker. So I just think that it's
It sucked, though, that it got overshadowed at the same time as Braun. That's what I felt. It did. You know what I mean? Because I was all down with that, too, and then I got caught up in the Drew. I'm like, wow, this is pretty crazy. Like, DeMar, he brings in LeBron. I'm like, wow, this is good. And then plus, like, the dudes were bringing it hard, man. One thing, Mo, and I watch it, I don't know if you noticed, too. See, NBA guys are used to getting fouled, bro, right? And the foul called. You notice DeMar and LeBron, especially DeMar, they would just start pushing people out of the way, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it would be like very frustrating because normally it would be a foul in the NBA, right? So a guy would come up, bump, oh, it's a foul. And truly, it ain't a foul, bro. you're allowed to bump LeBron. Yeah, you're nobody, but yeah, this is what it's about. So you're allowed to bump LeBron. And people were going at DeMar. They were bumping him and like stuff. And DeMar's coming in. And it was gold, man. Watch the video, guys. Finally, DeMar, he just went full heel. He's like shoving people out of the way and stuff. And then after, like, DeMar was like, you'd figure Mo would be the street ball guy that would be mouthing off after the NBA guy. Well, you want to go? You know what I mean?
He's a Compton kid, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You saw DeMar after, like, getting in Buddy's face. Like, Buddy clapped in his face, right? Buddy, like, clapped his hands right in DeMar's face and was really guarding him. And DeMar, like, shoves off, goes up for a dunk, misses the dunk, right? And then Buddy sort of went in his face again, except Buddy didn't want to fight with DeMar. So he sort of turned away, and DeMar kept, like, cycling around, getting in his face, like, yo, look at me, man. Yeah. He goes, you can't talk smack and walk away. He's like, and DeMar, you can see DeMar. Teammates like yo bro, but yeah, like you said, man, DeMar DeRozan, he's South Central through and through.
he really is, and it's great though because like DeMar DeRozan has that rap of being soft. That moment he went soft in the Drew League, how that played out on Saturday afternoon.
Man, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, that stuff. All right, Mo, we'll get you out on the other side here. I'm going to ask you a question on the other side. Who's the worst team in the National Football League going to be this upcoming season? This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. All right, we just got a couple more minutes with Mo, man. Time just flying by, just running the gauntlet here. So, Mo, we're about 2.5 weeks, less than 3 weeks, for the start of the National Football League preseason. The Raiders' Cliff Branch gets into the Hall of Fame. About time. It's too bad he's passed away, but great wide receiver, Cliff Branch. Tony Boselli for the Jags Hall of Fame game. There's a prop up we were asking people last week who they thought the worst team in the NFL was going to be, because there's a prop up for it. And here, I want to get the odds up here for this. But Mo, the Houston Texans are the favorites to be the worst team in the league. Right after that is the Atlanta Falcons. All right, here we go. After that is the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, Texans plus 350, Falcons plus 400, Seahawks 7-1, Jets 8-1, Jags 9-1, Panthers 10-1, Bears 10-1. Who do you think the worst team in the league is going to be?
Chicago Bears, 100% of the Bears. They have no O-line. I feel for Justin Fields going to the season here, Gabe. He's got no pass catch to work with. They have transitioned from where they were supposed to be under Matt Nagy now to Matt Eberflus, the head coach. I don't see this team doing well at all. And look, they have nothing working for them right now, Gabe. But if there's a silver lining for the Chicago Bears, is that next year they will have $120 million in cap space to help improve this team. But you wonder by then, if they're the first overall pick in a very deep quarterback draft, if they might let go of Justin Fields because he wasn't the pick of the current regime in place as we speak. So a lot going against Justin Fields and this Bears team. And we'll see how this plays out for them going towards week one.
That was my pick as well, Mo. So I don't know. Great minds think alike, or it's Dumb and Dumber. But I got to tell you, I'm surprised about the 10 to 1 odds too. I look at it as well. And I think the Chicago Bears are setting themselves up for a disaster here. Like, really. Like, I think the Detroit Lions are better than they are. Like, I agree with you. I think they're going to be the worst team in that division. And subsequently, I think they're worse than Seattle. I think you're right. I think, and guys, it's great value at 10 to 1. Excellent stuff, Mo, as always.
Always, my dude. Take care, pal.
Bring it.